Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Break the Cycle. Me, your host, Joshua Smith. Everyone pray for me. Pray that we don't have any audio issues tonight, no video issues. Everything's good to go. I really apologize about last night. It was a Bush League. Definitely not my best tech job over the last 100 episodes, almost 100 episodes. But I think I got everything squared away tonight. We should be okay. I hope that everybody's having a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Let's start off with sponsors. Of course, we got TopLobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend and partner on Break the Cycle, where you can get this great The Tree of Liberty Must Be Watered shirt that you see me wearing tonight for a 10% discount by using BTC at checkout. Or you can join the Patreon, subscribe, star, or become a member of the YouTube channel right here underneath any of my videos by hitting the join link for $6 a month. You get into a private Discord server where you will get all the brand new Top Lobster designs up to 2 weeks before they go to the general public at like a 30% discount. So really, if you guys are doing like $5 a month, $6 a month, it's paying for itself if you're buying Top Lobster gear. Anyways, pretty good stuff. Plus, you get all kinds of other cool perks and, you know, all the cool custom emojis that you see in the chat, the custom badges that change colors depending on how long you've been a member of the channel, and, of course, the Discord chat. There's mug club, t-shirt club, all that great stuff. So check that out when you can. It's awesome, I promise. Of course, executive producer of the show, anthemplanning.com, for all your emergency and crisis planning needs. Check them out today. See what they can do for your business, home, or personal life. They're doing a wonderful job that the government has historically sucked at. Guys, we've got a great show for you tonight. Very excited. This showman, I met him almost 4 years ago out of the blue at the Libertarian Party of Louisiana State Convention. He ended up being a really, really cool guy. He's got an awesome podcast called Rebel with a Cause. His name is Eric Heiler. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, I am doing fantabulous. Fantabulous, indeed.
Nice. Well, I'm happy. I'm happy that you're doing good. I know that it's been a little rough being a Louisiana man recently.
Yeah, Ida just kind of gave me a drive-by. Luckily, it made a little turn, and I ended up on the western side of it. So I had one part of a tree knocked down in my driveway. Power was out and internet was out for a couple of days. It was really tough. Whew. But yeah, if you were on the eastern side of that storm, it was a lot worse. So I consider myself very, very lucky.
Sure, sure. I couldn't imagine, man. I was living in Iowa last year when we had that derecho, whatever the fuck. It's like a land hurricane.
Yeah, derechos.
Yeah, yep. It was terrifying, man. I'm texting Julia. She's pregnant at work. It was like my day off. I got up and I went to the Casey's to get coffee. It was sunshine out. It was nice. Not a cloud in the sky. And I came home and I'm sitting in my apartment in the living room. And, you know, we had those slat blinds that you move over.
Yeah.
And so the light comes through the centers of them a little bit. And it's, you know, the light's coming through in the living room. I got all the lights off. I got the TV on, watching the news and drinking my coffee or whatever. And then all of a sudden it just goes pitch black in my living room.
Yeah. that's how it happens.
Instantly pitch black. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And I open the blinds. And it looks like the Wizard of Oz, man. I mean, there's just shit flying past the window. And I just moved to Iowa. You know what I mean? And so I'm texting my fiance at the time, like, yo, I'm really, really sorry that you're going to have to raise this baby without me. Like, I think I'm in the middle of a tornado right now. Like, I'm done. You know, I don't know what to do about this. And she's laughing. You know, she's like, sweetie, it's a storm. It's a windstorm. You're going to be fine. But, I mean, it ripped the roof off the hockey stadium here and all kinds of stuff, man. It was absolutely wild, dude.
Yeah, and you haven't have you experienced an Iowa winter yet?
Yes, I just came through. Well, we just got done with summer, but right before the spring, I dealt with that Iowa winter, man, and that was brutal. I was not. I talk about this shit on the show all the time. I was not prepared for an Iowa winter. I went to the Walmart and bought a little snow shovel, you know, and I'm like, I got this, you know.
Little snow shovel.
Yeah. The first big snow, I'm like, okay, we're going to need a snow blower. This isn't going to cut it. So now we have a snow blower, you know?
Yeah. So that's one thing that I am well versed in. I grew up in Pottawatomie County, Iowa, across the river from Omaha. And I remember once as a little kid, I got dumped out of a second story window to dig down to the front door to dig away all the snow so that you can at least open the door.
Goodness, dude. Yeah, it's wild. It's not that bad here right inside Des Moines. We get, you know, a foot or so, but it's like, to me, I mean, anything over like 2 inches of snow, I'm like, life's over. That's it. I don't know what to do. And the worst part is the negative degrees, man. You know what I mean?
Like,
getting under. I think the worst I'd ever experienced was 12 degrees, and I remember just being like, this is horrendous. And now I've experienced like negative 25, And so now I know what real cold is like. But hey, man, you're Voluntaries, got this great Voluntaries podcast, big in the anarchist community. Why don't you explain your journey? It's something we like to do on Break the Cycle, and let me know how you got to where you're at today, man.
Yeah, so I kind of take a long stream route around. Most people had their Ron Paul moment in 2008 and 2012. Not me. I had George W. Bush as my awakening call, you know, because in 2000, he starts using all the libertarian languages. He's, you know, he's not going to do any nation building and all this. And I was like, okay, well, maybe he's not such a criminal like his dad was. Maybe it's going to be better this time. So then, of course, you know, September the 11th happens and all of that shit just goes right out the window and they just go back on all of the campaign promises and everything else. And it was at that moment I was like, oh no, there's something broken here. So had a little brief dalliance with the Constitution Party there for a little bit, and then found myself with libertarian circles, and then into the Libertarian Party. And then I was like, you know what, I'm kind of done with party politics altogether. I'll just go do my own thing and hopefully lead by example.
Sure. And then so you're no longer with the Libertarian Party?
No longer with the Libertarian Party. Right after that 2018 convention, because I saw how you were treated, overheard some conversations about Bill Weld going on, seeing Bill Weld with tux and tails and brown loafers on, I was like, I got to get out of here.
Jesus, dude. Yeah, yeah, it was rough. I think that culture in the party's changing now, thankfully, finally, but it did take a long
time. It definitely sounds like it. Yeah.
It took a long time, dude. And, you know, it's like the last bit of power they really have. There's like a few state boards in the country, and then the last bit of power they have is on the LNC, and they know they're losing it. So they're like scorched earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, might as well just salt the ground while they're leaving.
So. Yeah, it's everybody who's resigned from that board has done something fucking horrendous right before they walked out the door.
Yeah, I mean, just the stuff with Karen Ann Harlow's alone. By the way, I love the pink haired lady. Yeah. You know, so
everyone should.
You know, there was a picture on my old Instagram of me with the pink wig at the 2018
right.
convention.
That's right, so. In Louisiana. Yep, absolutely. I remember that. I remember seeing that. A lot of people were wearing that wig.
Yeah, we had a whole bunch of them going around. It was great.
Nice. Yeah, I the whole thing, just like Joe Bishop Hinchman resigning, and then but right before he resigned, he started a petition, or he started a motion to remove Karen Ann Harlow's. The rep from Region 8 voted to disaffiliate one of his own states and then resigned. It's like on the way out the door, they were all doing something shitty. Every single one of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, you can't expect them to do anything else.
Absolutely, so. Man. It's pretty wild, dude. So let's talk a little politics. Cause since you hate politics, what do you think of this new Texas law that's been signed into the legislature by Greg Abbott, requiring election integrity. I mean, it's now a law that they have election integrity there.
Yeah. I mean, are they going to have election integrity? Maybe. We'll have to see. But I did take a little bit of joy watching Beto O'Rourke starting to come to tears about not allowing the poor disadvantaged people the access to voting in a state that was already so hard to vote in. And I was like, I voted in Texas before. I've lived in Texas before. It's really not all that hard. You sign up to vote when you get your driver's licenses. So I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting experiment for a state to require election integrity by law. You know, it's so funny to see like the stark contrast between a state like Texas and a state like Florida, or a state like Texas and a state like New York, where New York's requiring IDs to get into restaurants that say you've been vaxxed, and Texas is going to require IDs for you to vote. And so it's like choose your poison. But, you know, how, you know, it's like all these people that are saying that they want to require vax passports are calling this new law in Texas racist.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, well, I mean, if you already believe that black people can't make their way down to the DMV to get an ID card or a driver's license, or that they haven't had to show their driver's license for anything else, like, you know, going down to the liquor store to buy beer or whatever. And now you're saying, well, now they have to get a jab and they have to show the little card with the four slots on it. And they tell you not to laminate it.
Sure.
Hint.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I was looking at the list today of like the least vaccinated states. Of course, New York's not on there. And neither is Texas.
No, Texas is right up there.
And neither is Florida.
Yep. Florida's up there too.
Yeah. None of them are in the top five least vaccinated states, or in the top seven for that matter. What do you think the least vaxxed states are? And you guys tell me in the chat too what you think the least vaxxed states are. We'll talk about the top seven. Name some of the top seven. Name them in the chat too.
All right, I'm gonna have to go out on a limb here and say maybe Mississippi might be one of those. Oklahoma, Alabama. I don't know. Maybe
not Oklahoma or Alabama.
Not Oklahoma. Utah, probably. Nope. I don't know.
I wonder if anybody else is. I wonder if anybody else. Drop your super chats and tell me what you think they are. No, So number one is actually Idaho.
Oh, Idaho. Yes, of course.
Yeah. And number two is Wyoming.
Okay.
Number three is Mississippi. So you did get Mississippi, and that was number three.
I got Mississippi right. Okay.
Yeah, that was the number three. Number four is West Virginia.
Good old West Virginia.
Number five.
Country roads take me home. Yeah.
Number five is North Dakota.
North Dakota.
Number six is your home state of Louisiana.
Yes, I kind of figured that Louisiana would be in there.
Yeah, and number seven is Tennessee. All of them are around less than 50% vaccinated.
Good. Good.
In fact, Idaho is at 44.41%, and that is the least
That's
amount
actually
of state.
Surprisingly high, considering the type of people that moved to fucking Idaho.
Right, but it's funny because like I'm looking at the list of all the states, and they're all close to 50%. I mean, it's none of them are really
like heads and shoulders above. I guess New York and New Jersey would probably be way up there.
Yeah, which is pretty funny, considering that they want to drop all these like mandates on us, and it's like, yo, you guys realize that 50%? We've had months to get vaccinated, months and months and months and months, and 50% of the population of this country is still not vaccinated. They're not going to get vaccinated. They don't give a shit about your mandates.
Yes, yeah, it's I haven't got it. I'm not going to. And it was really funny because somebody was like, well, you're just hesitant. I was like, no, hesitant would imply that I could be persuaded to get it. This is called resistant.
Yeah, full on resistance. And in fact, I think that, we need more resistance. And I'm one of those people, like, I don't give a shit. Like, if you want to take it, take it. You know what I mean?
I respect your choice. It's your body.
Yeah. Here's my issue. The three manufacturers in the United States that have put out vaccine. Okay. Let's talk about them for a second. We have Johnson & Johnson, who literally put out a toxic baby powder and was sued for it. And
gave you cancer, if you used it.
Gave a bunch of people cancer. We have Moderna, who has never, ever brought in a product to market.
Yeah.
This is the first time, and they were able to do it in a couple months.
Theoretical.
completely never. And then we have Pfizer, who has the biggest criminal fine in history of this country.
Yes, and they paid it. That's the other amazing part.
And kept going. And then today I was reading, they're talking about these boosters, right?
Yeah, of course.
They want to put out boosters. Pfizer put out today a statement saying that, they're looking at durable revenue from the COVID vaccine. Durable revenue.
Yeah. Aren't they the ones that also said, you're going to have to take like a twice daily pill?
Yeah, well, I can't remember if that was Moderna or Pfizer.
Have been Pfizer. Yeah.
I'm guaranteed at this point, this is such a fucking a tragic comedy that I'm sure they're going to be suppositories.
Yeah, and Moderna, they were playing little fuck you fuck games because the thing that they got approved allegedly is not even the same thing that got the emergency youth authorization. So.
Jesus fuck. Of course not. Well, and then I was looking into it, and they're saying that Pfizer got FDA approval.
Yeah,
but it's not
really. It's an extension.
It's an extension of the emergency authorization. So it wasn't even FDA approval. But the news ran like a 7-day news cycle that it was full FDA approval.
Yeah. Yeah. You even had Joe Biden, fighting a nap coming out there. And I was like, hey, you got to get it. You got FDA approval now.
Yeah. Where's my ice cream?
Yeah.
It's like I feel like Joe Biden is so demented at this point that his ice cream is like a treat for saying the right things. Like they're like, hey, listen, Mr. Biden, President Biden, if you go out there and you say this, we'll make sure that you get that chocolate ice cream you love so much when you get back. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Now we got Dr. Feelgood. He's gonna give you a little shot in the pelvis area and
Fuck, dude. No shit. The whole thing is just a mess.
We're gonna give you a cocktail of B vitamins so you look halfway aware and cognizant of what the hell's going on around you.
Oh my God, dude. So what do you think? What do you think, man? What do you think is going to happen? Like, if you had to give your theoretical futuristic story over the next 6 months, what do you think is going to happen, man?
Oh man, if I can go back in time to 2019 self and say, all right, now look, at the end of this year, someone's going to eat bat soup and we're all going to get locked inside of our houses. I would have thrown my future self out the door and said, go away, crazy person. But as far as what's going to happen next, I don't know. Kind of like my spidey sense is tingling a little bit for the 25th Amendment for old Joe. And I'm thinking it might come right around midterms. I don't know. That's just my it's like, okay, well, how crazy can we make the timeline type of thing?
Jesus, dude. I don't know. I don't know how much more.
Can you imagine just Kamala tackling?
It's coming. Oh. There's no doubt about it. And I don't know how many times I've been called a conspiracy theorist over the last, I don't know, year and a half, and have been proven right.
We're all conspiracy theorists.
And have been proven right over and over and over again. A year ago, yes. I was saying, hey, COVID passports coming. I guarantee they're coming. People are like, you're fucking crazy. You're fucking crazy. A year later, they're like, get your vax or you can't go to the grocery store, fucking bigot, you know? And then a year ago, I was saying, I actually got kicked off last October. I got kicked off Facebook for saying, hey, you know, I'm starting to think that this fucking virus was probably made in a lab in China.
Yeah.
And they kicked me off, and then it was like,
and then, oh, it was and then like, yeah. You know, Jon Stewart's making jokes with old Stephen Colbert on the evening program there.
Totally the approved narrative now.
Yeah,
and I was just like,
no, that's fine.
Fucking hey, dude. And then what were some other good conspiracies I had that people were? What were some other ones? You got any other good ones?
Oh, let's see. The COVID passports. We all kind of knew the fix was in once Amazon started selling passport books with an extra little sleeve in it for your vax passport.
Oh, dude.
I started seeing that, and I was like, oh, yeah, the fix is in.
Have you seen this guy going around to all the businesses in New York? And he's made all these signs. He's trying to raise enough funds to get more made, but he's going to businesses and saying, hey, will you help us out by putting this in your window? And it's like, we accept. It's got a bunch of woke shit on it. We accept all genders, all races, all sexual edge, you know, all this shit. And then at the bottom, and it's like, and we also accept vaccinated and unvaccinated
and unvaccinated.
Yeah. And all the restaurants and like businesses and shit are like letting them put this in their windows because they agree with it.
Yeah.
Which is fucking crazy to me. So I have these libertarians telling me, you know, you can't fight back, but you're using this system and blah, 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 blah. Otherwise, you know, you're bad and this and that. And it's like, dude, that's what these people are doing. They're doing exactly what I said would happen. Yeah. And if we don't defy the government, then they have to do these things because the governments will crush your small business. And so thankfully the businesses are doing it, you know, but I've been trying to explain to people, like, if a business is telling you that you can't come in because you're unvaccinated with some untrusted, untested vaccine, it's not because they don't want you there. It's because the government is telling them they're going to shut their fucking business down again if they don't do these things. And instead of making zero money, they'd at least like to make 50% of the money they were making before they were shut down for 18 months.
Because that's better than nothing at all. So
right. So it's really, at this point, it's this private property argument that we keep having in the liberty movement, the broader liberty movement.
Company, bro.
It's like that'd be all fair and well if there weren't government forces in the market, you know what I mean? But there are.
Yeah, 100%, all over the place.
100% there is. You know, here in Iowa, we'll never have vax passports. I mean, it's been illegal. It's been deemed illegal by our governor.
Yeah.
But if it hadn't been deemed illegal, I'll tell you right now, 90% of the businesses here still wouldn't have instituted it.
Yeah.
They just wouldn't have.
Yeah, because no, it's just bad customer service. It's like, I don't care.
You know, you know how many business owners I know that are like, oh, I'm not taking that shit. No fucking way. Yeah. It's not going to happen. You know, and you think they're going to keep unvaccinated people out of their business?
No. No one's going to care. No one's going to ask.
This whole argument has come from people who have no idea what the market is. They have no idea what profit motive is. They just don't know anything about the market at all.
Yeah, so I dodged a bullet. So I got away from a 90,000 plus employee engineering firm that is a federal contractor. And the day that was my last day, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pay attention to the staff meeting this week and just kind of see what they're saying. And they're saying, well, you know, Joe Biden came out and said that federal contractors were going to have to get it. And so that what our legal department is looking at. And I was like, oh
shit,
man, I'm so glad I'm getting out of here. And then I'm at a new company, and the owner is like talking to me about 4chan and stuff.
Oh, nice.
So I'm like, I'm in good hands.
Yeah, I have something like that too. My boss is cool as shit, and like I have all these people that are constantly online, like, oh, you know, find out where he works, tell his boss, tell this shit. I go in the morning and show my boss these texts, and he laughs. He's like, "What a bunch of retards," you know. It's really funny. It's really hilarious. They think they can, you know, because these people want to take your income, dude. They want to make sure that you can't make any money to support yourself and your family, because they don't agree with what you say.
Yeah, on an ancient battlefield, men used to settle their differences by putting fists in each other's face.
Exactly.
But these people are so weak that they have to go do the end run around, and they're going to talk about you, and they're going to gab like little girls on the phone to your boss to try and get you to lose your source of income.
Yeah.
So,
because,
you know,
because being homeless will shut you up is what they're saying. And it's like
homeless would just free me to go shout at the rafters.
Yeah, dude, I'd be doing this show. I'd be doing this show 10 times a week if you guys got me fired from my job. Just right. So you are aware. Not only am I not going to stop saying the things that I say, I'm going to increase the amount of the times I say those things publicly.
Right.
You know why? Because fuck you. That's why. You know what I mean? Like that. You know, if you got me kicked out off my job, but that would never happen. You know what I mean?
I would just look him dead in the eyes, and I would say, "I am the last of Generation X. Come at me, bro."
I'm actually a millennial.
Yeah, I won't hold that against you. You're cool. You're cool.
I was almost the other generation. I was born in '83, so I was really close.
It's 1979 for me, so I was like right at the end.
Yeah, and I was right at the beginning. So there's a split in millennials. You know what I mean? The ones that were born like after 86 or something like that are different than the ones that were born after like 83 to 86, 82 to 86 or whatever. So we're okay.
Yeah, it's actually been kind of fun watching your generation kind of come around to the whole idea. It's like, oh wait, I've got a family now. What shit sucks.
Dude. Yeah. Cause we partied, man. I mean, my generation back when in our 20s, it was just like everyone, even like the good kids and shit, like the good young 20-year-olds went to the bar every night. I mean, that's just what they fucking did. It was like, you know, the generation above us didn't do that shit. I mean, they did, but not like us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Generation X, we were just we were happy to be drinking like in other people's houses, because we knew like if we went out, like shit would happen. So
we had like our own bar stools at the bar and shit. Like that's how it was, you know. That's what everybody did. It was like you worked, then you drank, and then you went home and went to sleep, and you got up and went to work. You know. And now it's funny because I look back where I'm from in the Bay Area, California. It's like a lot of my friends that I grew up with still doing that same shit, dude. Too, you know what I mean? And I'm like, fuck, dude, I have two beers and I'm hungover for a week now.
It's like, dude, you're pushing 40. You might want to slow it down.
It hurts now, man. Like, I love my whiskey and shit, but man, it's like there. I don't know if there's a worse hangover than a whiskey hangover at this point. Even the good whiskeys, they fuck
You're at least migraine headache. You know, that's bare minimum.
Yeah, dude. Like, and I suffer from like horrible fucking migraines. Like, bad. I can never remember what the hell those are called. My vagal nerve, something like that. Like, it gives me vertigo and all kinds of shit, dude. They suck.
Yeah, it's never a good time. I haven't had a migraine in a long time. The last time I remember, you know, light hurt, people's voices hurt. You know, you threw up because it hurt so bad.
Yeah. Get real nauseous. It's hard to eat. And I spent the better part of a decade getting kicked and punched in the head. So it's probably not good for you, mostly. You start getting close to 40, you're like, oh, I might have some mental issues here. I don't know what's going on, dude.
All my knuckles are broken.
Yeah, mine too, dude. I did a little bit of boxing, but mostly my head trauma was mostly Muay Thai, mostly. And then I played football in my 30s, which was kind of probably stupid.
Yeah, that's a little dumb. It's kind of dumb when you're 15 too. So
yeah, like I played when I was younger, and then I didn't play. Sorry.
Just the Rona. Yeah, no, it's okay, folks.
My basement is like super dry. They have like a dehumidifier down here, and I don't know if it's for all the electrical equipment and stuff that's down here. But man, it's so dry, and I'm going to put like a humidifier down here. So when I do
just
the
aimed right at your face.
Yeah. So when I do the show, I don't get all dry. It's hard, man. Like if I do it upstairs, I'm fine. But yeah, I decided when I was like 33, there was a new semi-pro football league in Portland, Oregon, where I was living and or based out of there. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try out, see what happens, you know, as a joke. It's a joke.
And that's usually how it starts.
Yeah, I mean, I was in decent shape. I had been training MMA for a while, but I had taken a year and a half off. I tore my foot up real bad, and so I was a little out of shape, a little fat, and I went down there and tried out, thinking, you know, no, there's no way they're gonna call me. There was like kids fresh out of there was a kid that played at one of the schools in the SEC, and like there was one that came from Oregon State, and. There was like good, these young kids. I mean, they're in their early 20s, you know. So I went home. I went, and they're like, what position do you want to play? And I was like, I started center in high school, right? So I was like the big fat, I was the big fat kid, you know. I was like 5'7", 245. And so I was like, well, I'm big, but I'm tall and lanky kind of, you know what I mean? Like I'm 6'2", like 240 at the time. So I was like, well, I think I want to play tight end and defensive end. And I'm like, I never played those positions. I'd never been a receiver whatsoever at all.
Yeah.
Right. So I went to this tryout thinking there's no way I'm going to actually get in, you know. And
if the center is touching the ball other than to hike it, then there's a problem.
Yeah, there's a problem unless it's a fumble. Right. And so
shit has happened on the field.
Yeah. And so I went down, tried out, and they called me the next day and they're like, yeah, man, we'd like you to come out and start with us. And I was like, a fucking what? Okay, well, I guess I'm playing football, dude. So I played a season of football in 33. I was the third oldest guy in the entire league, not just on my team, in the league, dude. It was nuts. Pretty good. It's pretty fun. I ended up like Iron Manning the last three games, like playing on both sides of the ball. And we had so many injuries, and I never got injured, but I did get a really bad concussion in the championship game. Really bad.
Oh, yeah. Just body slamming together.
Well, I had like a 360 pound guard pulled on me, and I came off the edge. And I didn't see him coming at all. And
blindsided you?
Oh, Jesus. Right in the ear hole, dude, with the crown of his helmet and everything. And I remember it's like, I like got up and played the next play, but I don't remember playing that play. And then I got home, and my ex-girlfriend at the time had like video of me. She had video of me like speaking to her in like a high-pitched voice for some weird reason. I don't know.
Yeah, really you got
weird.
Your bell rung pretty good then.
Yeah, it was really weird. I was like speaking in differently than I normally do. But Quest Fanning, thanks for the $5 super chat, man. I appreciate you. He said, going to have to catch most of this on the replay, but we'll share. Love both of you guys. We love you too, Quest.
Yeah, Quest is awesome.
He's a great guy. He's one of the nicest guys, man. And he's a big supporter of Break the Cycle. I really appreciate all you guys that financially support the show, especially now that, the looming, like, corporate world trying to push the issue of vaccines. It may be my full-time job eventually, you know.
That's the dream anyways.
Yeah, well,
I bought
all the stuff to use my camera as a vlogging tool too, because Julia just started a new YouTube channel and that I've been working on editing her content, which I've never been a video editor before. So I'm currently teaching myself how to use Adobe Premiere Pro, which is fucking nice. Hard. It's not easy, dude. It's not easy at all.
Yeah, there's a reason why you take whole college courses for this.
Yeah, like that program is insane. And I have, there's like 10 other programs on here too. I'm trying to remember what the other ones are. There's like After Effects, Audition, Character Animator, the Media Encoder, Premiere Pro. It's like, can I just use one program to do all of this shit?
Yeah, it gets rough. You know, when you get that step from audio editing where you're, you know, dropping your intro so it has a little bit of fade over your for your introduction and then outros and everything. And then when you're switching it over to video, you know, now you're looking at time codes to see exactly when to splice a scene and everything.
Yeah, you got to like cut and then you got to like add these. And it was like, it was crazy because it was like, oh, I got transitions figured out and I put all these transitions in all the cuts. And then I realized you have to fuck with like the timing of the transition too. And I'm like, oh my God. So I like had to go back and change all the timing of all the transitions to make them smoother. And then we have a green screen. So I had to take out the background, put in a new background. Then you got to fuck with the actual image to make sure that there's like no bleed through. And I'm just like, wow, people do this for a job. And this is crazy.
Yeah. Wait until you start going down the rabbit hole of color correction.
Cause we, for some reason we had like a light surge or something. So her color changed for like a segment. So I had to like snip that and start trying to get the color on that segment to look like the other segments. I'm like, finally, I just put some B-roll over it. Hi, kids. Do you like violence? Yeah.
Are you sick to death of pussyfooting around the truth while being constantly fed lies by news and big tech tyrants? If so, then come join me, Dan Smotz, on The System Is Down, where we get weird, have fun, and dig into all the dangerous taboo topics like conspiracies, politics, religion, culture, current events, and everything your family just prays you don't bring up around the Thanksgiving dinner table. And I know that reality is scary to some people, so if you're easily offended, just ignore this and go back to making cat memes or whatever. But if you're ready to change the world for the better, come join me on The System Is Down at tsidpod.com or wherever you get podcasts. That's tsidpod.com, because the system is down and truth is taking over.
Yeah, you can band-aid it sometimes. It's like, you know, let me just cut to like whatever I'm talking about right here.
Some B-roll. I'll just throw some B-roll over that. But it actually is coming out really good, and I hope everyone will find my fiance's channel, Julia Annalise. It's gonna be good stuff. But man, why don't you tell me about your show? What's your show all about?
Well, it originally started with me just kind of in my car, just talking on the phone with the little microphone.
Pissed I was just white guy in a truck.
Yeah, not doing the white guy in the truck. Yeah. Yeah. I have made fun of my share of dudes about to go do a rant in the truck about their damn kids. But yeah, it started off with that, and I was just kind of doing, little stories here and there. And then eventually I started working up the nerve. I was like, well, maybe I can interview somebody, and I'm a little bit better playing off of somebody. So ever since then, it's been, just having conversations with people. I don't really have anything outlined. I might write down a few things to touch on points and everything. So it's a little bit more like this. It's a little more laid back. Kind of, I call it the back porch episodes. Yeah. It just sounds like we're having beers on the back porch.
Well, that's a good thing for a Louisiana man, because I think coon ass is down there. That's what you guys do, right?
That's right, man. That's right. We there's nobody who is more professional at drinking than a Cajun. Let me tell you.
Yeah, you get them guys down there, man. They're like a whole nother. It's like a whole nother race. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, so anytime that it's like happening upon swamp people and they're talking, and I'm seeing subtitles, and I was like, the rest of America needs to read this.
So have you heard of ISIS-K yet?
Yes, ISIS Khorasan. What is it, like five guys in a basement somewhere, like hanging out in the woods?
Yeah, are you do you think there will be as many ISIS variants as there are COVID variants?
Oh, I even saw a story today. We were talking about the COVID variant of Mu.
Oh, is that a new one too?
Yeah, that's a new one. It's so infectious.
I can't even keep up with them anymore. That's the thing that people don't understand. So it's like like every coronavirus, almost every respiratory virus. Like, you know what I mean?
You have
like,
so many variants.
They mutate. That's what they do. And typically they mutate in a way that they don't kill their host. I mean, that's 98% of mutations from respiratory viruses are mutations that are less deadly and more contagious. That's how we got the common cold. The common cold used to be, it was a pandemic that killed tons of people.
Yeah. You know,
rhinovirus?
Yeah. Well, I mean, corona is one of the hundreds of different types of viruses that cause the common cold.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the reason why we can never like nail down what actually causes the common cold. There's just too many of those viruses that all exhibit the same symptoms. Sure. So,
well, and I think the rhinovirus is the number one cause of the common cold. I think it causes like 74% or 75% of common colds.
Yeah.
But the rhinovirus is like, people die from the rhinovirus too. I don't know if anybody understands that the cold does kill people sometimes.
Yeah, and well, a lot of times it's little kids because their immune systems haven't set up
yet. And old people.
Yeah, and unlike, you know, this particular koofy, we've got like just old people getting it for some strange reason. It might have nothing to do with baby boomers and pensions and Social Security. I mean,
yeah. The boomer doomer is what we were calling it in the beginning, but and now you got the clot shot to go with the boomer doomer. But
that's right.
so the kids thing is really fucking bothering me. Okay, so we got seven children. Okay, and three of them go to public school here in Iowa, and I'm not proud to admit that, but we just have too many kids to do it on our own right now.
Yeah, I would say public schools in Iowa probably a little bit better than a public school in Los Angeles.
In California. It's not even close, dude. It's insane how good. Actually, the teachers here are you know, 90% of them are pretty conservative. They're really, really nice. I've been to the school. I met the teachers. The principal's amazing. You know, there's like my fourth grader had a teacher that had she, her in her email sign off when she'd, and I'd be like, oh God, fucking, like, I couldn't tell that you're a female. But for the most part,
the old Walter Block joke applies. Compared to what?
Yeah. Compared to what? Yeah. No, it's, you know, they're mostly good, but it's still public school and they still have their issues. And I'm still worried about some things, but at least we're not in Des Moines proper, because the Des Moines proper school district is
garbage.
Sure. That's the bad one. We're outside in Urbandale, which is much better. And in fact, Urbandale is one of the best school districts in the country. I didn't know that.
There you go.
So they, last year when we first got them in October, we got them enrolled in school and they were doing all online school. And I'm like, these kids haven't been to school in 3 years. All right. We just adopted one had never been to school. She was supposed to be in kindergarten and hadn't gone. One was in fourth grade and was supposed to be, had done one day of first grade and was supposed to be in the fourth grade. And my 16-year-old hadn't been to school since eighth grade. And she was supposed to be a sophomore. And so they're putting them all online and I'm going, dude, this doesn't work for these kids. You know what I mean? Like, they can't do that. So they ended up letting them go back and then doing a hybrid thing where they did like one day online and then one day at school.
Right.
And then after, you know, during the summer when their school started, because they're year round, or actually long before summer, they dropped the mask mandate. In fact, Kim Reynolds made the mask mandate illegal here. No schools could require it. And so we sent our kids back to school with no masks, dude. They've been going since last, when was it? Probably January, February, with no masks, all the kids here. And it, you know, it's, nice. I'm listening to this national news media, this corporate national news media telling me that all of these kids are getting this COVID and they're dying, the kids are now dying in this shit. And I'm like, where?
Yeah.
It's not happening here.
Yeah. To quote the great Aesarchist, source.
Yeah, source. Exactly. Cause I'm like, you know, and it was even funny for us last year when we had our son on New Year's Eve. This was in, you know, New Year's Eve at the hospital. The nurses and doctors were like, yeah, we don't know why they keep saying that shit on the news. We have four people in our ICU and only one of them is a COVID patient.
Yeah.
And that's in Des Moines. You know what I mean? Like the biggest city in Iowa, where they're saying that we have this huge surge and spike. And then
you would think we have all of these numbers that actively refute the stupid garbage that they've been pumping into our face for the last 18 months. Sure. And they're sticking with it. And it's driving me fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's like, we already know you're lying. And they're like, that's cool, we're just gonna keep doing it anyways, don't worry about it. And then this Oklahoma thing that just happened with Rolling Stone, did you see that?
Yes. Oh God,
dude. They're like patients, gunshot wound patients lining up at the hospital because they're full of ivermectin overdoses.
Yeah, and then that hospital has to come out and goes, he's a doctor, but he doesn't work for us.
Well, and the picture they used is from the winter, everyone's bundled up in winter gear and they're saying this is just happening, and we're like, it's been 100 degrees in Oklahoma for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
like, what the fuck are you
I don't know about you. I've been to Oklahoma in the summer. You don't wear thick heavy coats.
No, that's here in Iowa too. It's hot and humid. It sucks.
Yeah,
you know, our corn soil is crazy. And then so in Missouri we had this other instance where the big children's hospital in Casey Mo, right in Kansas City, the news put out that they're filled up with children from COVID, and they can't even bring in new patients because of this. And they actually put a statement out on their Facebook, like, we continue to be able to serve our community. Yes, we have a lot of cases of kids in the hospital right now. No, it's not COVID. It's RSV and other respiratory viruses.
Yeah,
and,
that's what they usually get every year.
And we continue to be able to serve our community. So please, if you have a child who needs help, please bring them to the hospital. The news is putting this shit out. All over the country. Look, that's Oklahoma, Kansas City, Iowa. I can tell you right now of three states where the news media is lying about children and ivermectin. But I'm the conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, and we're issuing those retractions like right at the beginning of the news, right? And they're very heartfelt apologies coming from these jackals.
Well, and it's funny because they don't even really write retractions. You know what I mean? They put edited on blah, 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 blah at the very bottom of the page in small print.
Yeah.
They're like, actually, this picture was wrong and blah, 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 blah. And it's like,
how
can you get away with that? And then I get banned for talking about how I know somebody who saved their life with ivermectin.
Who's the purveyor of misinformation now?
Right. Like, I personally know people who have saved their life with ivermectin. Like, we're very sick and took ivermectin.
Ooh, the horse dewormer.
Yeah. The Nobel Peace Prize, human medication that has been around for decades and has had a billion prescriptions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yes, that's what I'm talking about. No, not the horse dewormer. Although you can buy that at the Tractor Supply.
Yes, you can.
You know, my fiance took it from the Tractor Supply.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, it'll work.
She was going
as long as you know the dosages, you'll be okay.
Yeah, she was going through this. She was going through this autoimmune stuff, and she did like chelation and got all her mercury fillings removed and did like everything she could. And then she took this horse dewormer from the Tractor Supply, and it actually helped her. So she swears up and down she had some kind of parasite or something.
Shocking. Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Could be.
It wasn't. She wasn't. This wasn't a COVID thing. Obviously, it was something different. But
yeah, something different. Yeah. Now my father-in-law is a vet, and anytime that he has to go to the hospital, they always ask him the question, "What have you already taken?" Because he has access to the dog pharmacy. So
yeah, he can prescribe himself stuff.
Yeah. So like the amoxicillin and penicillin and crap that you would normally take for stuff, he's got access to all that stuff.
And you know, we all should. You should be able to buy antibiotics, I think, over the counter.
I mean, don't talk to me. I think cocaine should be legal. You know,
so, over the counter.
Over the counter, that's fine. Just you know.
We're so far off from ending the drug war. Yeah, disgusting.
Yeah, recreational coke is not going to be a thing for a while because the blue hairs ain't ready for that kind it's of freedom
the,
yet.
It's always the Louisianans that want the cocaine free, open. Everybody just use it. It's how far away are you from New Orleans?
Oh, I'm about 45 minutes, about 10 minutes outside of Baton Rouge and 45 minutes from New Orleans. So well,
that's not bad at all, dude.
Yeah.
You probably hate that place now, though, if you live there.
Yeah. Baton Rouge and I have a relationship that Voltaire had with Paris. You know, he loved the city, but he hated the people that lived there. So.
Jeez. Yeah.
It's quite amazing. I'm still driving around and mask mandate compliance is at an all-time low, but there are still people who are walking in downtown Baton Rouge with a mask over their face.
Well, I remember
there's nobody around them.
I remember last year when they were using Louisiana as like the scare central, man. I remember they were like, everyone's dying in Louisiana. They have like the Astrodome has like beds lined up in it and shit.
Yeah,
like,
the Superdome,
Or Superdome, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Which is now Caesar's Palace Superdome. So I was waiting for Christians to get fed to the lions, but I don't think they're going to do that.
But what's it like now in Louisiana, bro? What's going on there?
Yeah. I mean, they continue to hype the fear. So there was, they keep putting out this number. It's like, oh, well, we had 4,000 new cases. And so I was like talking to, you know, the old coworkers at the old job. And I was like, well, what do you think they mean by case? I mean, are you picturing in your head somebody like laid up in a hospital with machines on them? I was like, well, yeah. I was like, no, that's they pop positive on a test.
Right. Probably some of them may not even barely have any symptoms.
Yeah. Some of those aren't showing symptoms. And depending on how many cycles they did that test, it could be a false positive, you know. So, but as soon as they said that, it was like, oh, well, that can't be it. And then I was like, okay, well, here, go look it up. Jeez. Here, well, let me Google that for you.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow I'm having my friend Liberty Down Under from Australia on. I always want to say he's from the Melbourne area, but I think I'm wrong. I think maybe closer to New South Wales. I don't know. I'm really bad about Australia.
It's just, either way, both of those places are bad.
I've only been to Perth, Australia, and it was like the most fun I've ever had in my life.
Never been. Australia is on my bucket of lists of places to go, and it's like right now I'm pushing it further and further down the bucket
list. It was on my bucket list to go back as well, not anytime soon now.
But yeah, it's like it's just maybe one day.
Do you think that's coming here, man? I mean, do you think we're on our way?
Oh, like strict lockdowns for a single case? Yeah. I could probably see that happening in like Portland, Oregon or New York City. Probably not around here. I mean, there's still a lot of people that don't go along with this shit. So, yeah. So as far as that, maybe the big cities somewhere.
Yeah.
Dallas, Texas, because you know, gotta have a little bit of beef with Dallas.
You think Texas? I don't think Texas will do it, dude. I think their government there is like done. They're done with this shit. and thankfully, you know, and now they're focusing on elections again. Go figure. It's almost like midterms are coming up or something.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. It's September, and you know, November, October is like right around the corner. So
it's so funny to me, dude. Like how you can see like government officials who are up for re-election or want to keep a hold on their legislature start getting ready for elections. Yeah. You see it happen in the government. You see it, and it concerns our lives.
Yeah,
you know.
It's so funny, the recall election for Gavin Newsom. You know, it's like all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, now we have to go into another lockdown. I was right. like, really? When people are out there like signing a petition to right. remove you as governor?
Well, and then he realized that they were so I hate Newsom. Like I called him out for a charity MMA fight online, and he hasn't accepted yet. I know that you're watching the show.
He can't risk his beautiful hair.
Yeah, so man. We're in the same, like almost, he's like 200 pounds, 6'3 or 6'4, and I'm 6'2, like 230, 227.
Okay, so yeah, evenly matched.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'll drop down under 215 to fight him at light heavyweight. You know what I mean? Like, I'm totally fine with that. No, but it was funny because he's, you know, they started this petition to recall him, and he decided to we got to go back into strict lockdowns. Then he realized they were recalling him because of the strict lockdowns. And so he started relaxing everything.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, I didn't mean that.
I was just,
getting bad info.
I thought it was going to be really bad. I'm sorry. I'm going to go blow some more lines of cocaine in the back and talk to my aunt Nancy Pelosi. But he's not going to get recalled. Not gonna happen.
You don't think he's gonna get recalled?
No, unfortunately. Yeah. There's too many fucking dummies in California. Listen, the guy was the mayor. I'm from there, right? Like, I'm from the Bay Area. I used to spend like every weekend in San Francisco. I lived about 25 minutes away. I could hop on the BART and pay $5 and go into the city. Why wouldn't I?
It was so is the $400 plate of spaghetti at the French Laundry worth it?
I've never had it.
Okay.
But I'm sure it's good. If you want the best, my favorite restaurant in San Francisco is the House of Prime Rib. It's been there since like 1898 or something like that.
I've eaten the House of Prime Rib. It is excellent.
Oh, it's so good, dude. They have like the rolling cart, and they like bring the cart over and like cut the prime rib at your table, and they like mix your cream spinach at the table and the salad. And it's classy.
Table service there is awesome.
It's classy. In fact, if you want a date night, like that, you know, you got like a first date, like that's
remember dates. Dates were awesome.
Yeah, he's going on dates. I don't have to. Now I want to go on dates more than ever. And I'm got a fiance with 7 kids. So our dates are,
you know, kids kind of put a damper on things. Yeah, I've got the 2 that I've adopted out of foster care.
They can be
a handful.
Did you adopt 2 too?
I adopt 2 kids from foster care. One was my wife's second cousin once removed, or some kind of weird family math like that. And the other was a baby that was born drug exposed, and she turned 5 the other on the 31st. So, oh,
dude, well, I have a whole newfound respect for you, brother. No,
yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah, man. I saved a couple of kids from the state.
Yeah,
luckily,
it's hard, man. I don't think people understand, like, you know, taking on kids that aren't your own. They don't know you. If they do know you, they don't know you well. They don't have that trust and relationship and bond with you, and you have to like build it as they're older, which is hard to do.
Yeah, very hard to do. Not so much with the little girl, because I mean, we had her like 2 months after she was born. True. So, yeah, we're the only parents that she knows. But that you also get put in a strange place when you're the foster parent, because you have to be, you know, the bio mom and dad's cheerleader while they're trying to fix their shit so they can get their kids back.
Right.
And, you know, and it was like, I was even like telling my wife when we got the little girl, I was like, prepare yourself, because if mom fixes her stuff, she's getting this little girl back, and right. you're gonna have to be okay with letting her go.
Right. Yeah. So. I was, it's really hard for me, cause all my kids' mom is my ex-wife. Right.
Yeah.
and I know the mess that's going on, and I know that it's probably never going to happen. But I did have DHS tell me straight to my face, like, she'll never have these kids back. So I don't really, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have to worry about that as much. But it is, you know, we try to cheerlead as much as we can.
Yeah.
But we also know that it's inevitable. I mean,
you do hope that they do good. But at the same time, you just know that if they don't, they're going to be in a much better spot. Right. So. Right.
And that's how we look at it, too. It's like, you know, we would, you know, do whatever we could to make sure she was good and helped and... but she doesn't want the help. So,
you're going to have people like that. So
yeah, we'll love the kids as much as we possibly can for as long as they'll let us. But my 7-year-old, she just told me she loved me for the first time the other night. I do this thing sometimes when I come home from work and no one's around. I'm like, hey, does anyone in this house love me anymore? You know, because I'm like, it's like, damn, I just worked a 12-hour shift. I'm sole provider for all 9 of us. Like, it's hard.
Everyone wants to hide in the closet.
Yeah. And I'm like, could you guys just like maybe say hi when I get home or something? And so my 7-year-old pops around the corner. She goes, I do. And it was like the first time she'd ever said it. And I was just like,
just acknowledgement. Yes.
I'm going to go ugly cry now, you know, like right now I'm going to go ugly cry. It was really adorable, man. And
Daddy's got something in his eye. I'll be right back.
Well, especially because when we first got her, she was the one, She'd like go, like if we even said anything to her, she'd run under the kitchen table and like get on all fours and start growling at us and shit, dude. Like it was rough.
Yeah. My son was like that, 'cause he had PTSD. Like his mom would just like abandon him and his brother with the grandma for days on end while she went to go God knows what with God knows who.
True.
And he would literally hiss at you and growl at you.
Yeah. That's how she was too.
If you were just telling him, hey buddy, let's go clean up. You know?
Sure. Well, and I have this like habit of like patting the kids on the head too. You know what I mean? Like, oh, good job, buddy, you're doing good. If you got like this close to her, I mean,
with close, yeah,
she'd shirk away, and it was like, so it was like, you know, we had to be really hands off with her, and now she hugs me and all that stuff too, and it's cool to see that change. You know what I mean? It's hard, but it's really cool. So
yeah, that's like raising your voice was like another no-no. It was like the soon as you did that, even if it just went up a little bit of a decibel.
Sure. And that was something that I had to learn, you know, like it wasn't easy for me. 'Cause I was, for the people who don't know my story, about a little over a year and a half ago, I was a bachelor living with my best friend in California. Now I have 7 children that I'm helping raise or am raising.
That's a lot to deal with like overnight.
In 18 months. Yeah. Well, you know, when I moved here, it was my fiance had 2 girls and I was trying to be a good stepdaddy style, mentor to them. And then we got pregnant. Right. So we had a son on the way, and then I got my daughter, but I didn't just get my daughter. I got my daughter and her 2 siblings and my daughter's, incoming daughter, who is my granddaughter. And so, it was like, we added 4 overnight, 3 overnight, and then 2 more within 3 months of that, and both babies. And so, I had to, it was a lot of work, dude. Like I had to, you know, like, okay, you're going to get mad. There's a lot of kids in this house. They're all going through shit. You got to learn.
And they're all going to test your buttons because they all know what buttons to push.
Well, and there's a lot of things that are trauma that we didn't know were trauma. Like eating habits or there's like trauma eating. You know what I mean? And like,
yeah, that's another big one. It's like, why are you going into your room with your food? I was like, it was like, so you don't get it? I was like, I provided the food to you. We're sitting down at the table so that we can.
Yep, they'd squirrel it away. And then the 2 younger ones would only eat certain things. They wouldn't eat like still, it's still a struggle with the 7-year-old. She only wants like grilled cheese sandwiches, quesadillas, or chicken nuggets. Like that's it. Anything else, she will not look at it. She'll eat it. She'll actually freak out if you're like, can you just try the corn? She'll freak out. Like it's really hard. The boy eats a lot more now. And I, you know, I work some little deals. Okay, listen, if you guys eat everything that we ask you to eat for the next 2 weeks, I'll take you to Pizza Ranch over the weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, have a treat.
Yeah. So there's like little ways, but there's so many little things that are trauma that you don't know are trauma. You know what I mean?
Like, it's like with my son, like trying to get him to try something new is like, okay, come over here and help me make it. So maybe if you've got your hands in it, maybe you'll understand. Sure. And And so that kind of helps.
Yeah.
Every now and then I'll come home and my cast iron is scorched and everything.
Ooh, see, that'd be a hard one for me, man. I'm like, okay, now we just got to, now I got to beat all the kids. You know, you messed up the cast iron. No, I don't, we take a full peaceful parenting, path. You know, 100%. And, you know, he gets a lot of shit. Stefan, Molyneux.
Kinsella's
cool. Molyneux gets, you know, and rightfully so, he gets a lot of shit. He's done a lot. He said a lot of dumb shit, but his peaceful parenting principles are just spot on.
Yeah. And you know, and he was another one that was helpful on the journey over, because you heard, it was like that one big video that got shared all over place. What anarchism is, I think was one of his videos, and he was like explaining everything. And then you're like, oh, yeah.
I get that.
And then you get into the peaceful parenting stuff, and then all of a sudden it was Donald Trump is going to be our savior. I was like, no.
What? And then he's like, you know, I don't agree with him on some stuff, the ethno-nationalist stuff that he talked about when he went and visited.
Like, I'm here in Poland, and there's hardly any crime. I wonder why. Yeah. It's like,
ooh, okay, I'm gonna
shut up.
This is where I'm gonna take my exit now. Good luck, man. Thanks for the peaceful parenting theories. You know, but no, you know, we take that route for sure. It's, you know, and it was hard in the beginning. I wanted to yell, and I sometimes raised my voice, and, I had to like slowly teach myself not to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm the child of abuse. Sure. So my dad would like beat the shit out of us and everything else. And so you have to recognize within myself not to do that crap.
Sure.
And so I can tell pretty quickly when it's like, oh, you're about to go over the edge. Let's, let's take a break and let me walk outside.
Yeah. Yeah. You can feel it. And it's when you're raised like that, it's, it makes it a little bit harder not to do it. And, you know, my mom could be physical. She was pretty tough. But you know, there was an age where I hit where it was like, she couldn't do anything to me anymore. So I just leave, you know? And I put my mom through hell. So I still understand her frustration with me growing up. I was a rough kid. You know, a lot of people don't know. I spent like a long time in juvenile hall on and off, probably a year and a half, 2 years or something. And,
I was never quite that bad. I was just a redhead with, you know, riddled with ADHD. So.
Sure. I had the ADHD real bad.
I was probably a handful.
Yeah. I think I got diagnosed bipolar when I was like 12 or 13 or something. So it was like, they had me on all these meds and the meds made me worse. You know what I mean? Thankfully, like my mother, I flattened out in my like mid to late 20s. Like somehow we both evened out in our bipolar. And so maybe it was like a bad diagnosis. I don't know. But, you know,
well, I mean, that just comes with age too. So, you know, it was about 30 for me is when I started cooling out a little bit. So it was like, oh, this is, I think, was what normal is supposed to feel like.
Yeah. I'm still ADHD to the max, dude. Like to the max. Like it's so bad. Yeah. When I went to nursing
school, I had to have the compendium of human knowledge here to like put timers and reminders and stuff on there to make sure I stay on task.
Yeah. So. When I went to nursing school in 2014, I got my LPN and, we were talking about, the ADHD, how they diagnose it. And there's like these three sections, right? And in each section, there's like eight things. And like, if you can pick one thing from each section, that child probably has ADHD. And I'm looking it over and all the people in the class, I can find one or two things that are me. And I'm like, holy shit, all 32 of these things are, like 24 of these things are me. Like every single one of them. I'm like, holy shit.
You're not supposed to self-diagnose, but at the same time.
I'm like, I think it's pretty safe to say I'm still very ADHD. And it really bugs my fiance out because she'll tell me something. You know what I mean? And I heard it. You know, like I knew she was talking to me.
It's just it didn't process.
5 minutes later, I'll be like, hey, babe, what happened to this thing? She's like, I literally just told you 5 minutes ago. I'm like, oh, yeah, sorry. Oh, and I tried, and she doesn't understand that it's my ADHD at all. She thinks I'm just not listening to her.
And it's like, well, kind of yes and no. I like trying to explain that. It's like also when bosses are looking, I was like, why are you down on your phone? I was like, well, I have this reminder set for, you know, this and to make sure that I have that set of drawings turned in by this time. And that's what's going off right now.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, it was it's wild. And you know, it's hard for me to read books. I have to do audiobooks as much as possible because I'll read a whole page of a book.
And just nothing.
And just be like, what? How did I just read that whole thing and I have no idea what I just read?
Like, just staring at words, man.
That's
just staring at words.
Legit adult ADHD. Like people do not understand. It's hard. I have to read books twice, always, every time.
Yeah. Yeah. So sometimes when people like over here, like when I'm listening to podcasts at 2x speed, how can you even understand that?
You're like, oh, dude, my brain moves just that fast.
It's like I would move it to 3x if it had a function for that.
Yeah, I'm always at least 1.5 on all your podcasts, just so everybody knows. Always. Yeah. At least 1.5. So I'm hearing you a little faster than you speak. But, man, I really appreciate you coming on, Eric. What do you got coming up next, man?
Up next, I'm going to have Harley, the cryptid bartender, on. We're going to talk about a new little project that she's working. Going to have the great and wonderful Tappy on next week.
Oh, Tappy's so cool, dude.
Yeah, we're going to do a scorched earth thing. So I have no idea what's going to come out of that little girl's mouth, but it's going to be fire.
It's going to be fire for sure. There's no doubt. I'm going to laugh because she's so fucking badass online. I bet she's super timid.
She is a tough broad.
I bet she's so timid in real life, though. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I'll be listening to that one for sure because I love Tabby. Awesome. She's one of my favorite followers. We actually we beefed once online. Real briefly, but she was cool.
You
about
had
it.
Beef with Tappy? That seems so out of character.
Yeah, it was really yeah, right. It was something to do with my podcast, and her husband didn't like it, and he was talking shit. So I'm gonna talk shit back. Like I'm not just gonna
we're not gonna back down.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be like, it's cool, bro. No, that's cool. I get it. You could call me all the names you want.
I understand how you would see that. It's like, fuck you, man.
Yeah, I was like, no, fuck you, go fuck yourself. And that's her husband, and so she jumped in, and I got it. And but we squashed it. And everything's been cool, and I'm still a big fan. So I'm interested to see what she's gonna be like in real life. But where can the people follow you, support you, listen to you, all that great stuff?
Oh, well, I mean, you can always find me over on the Bird app. At least in a couple of days from now when my ban is lifted. You can follow me at RWAC Podcast, and that's on Twitter. I have a YouTube channel over here that's also going to be Rebel with the Cause Podcast. You can also find me on Float, and that's pretty much about it. Sick, I do have a website, rebelwithcausepodcast.com.
Man. Well, I appreciate you. I'm a fan and friend. If you could give me like 2 minutes, I'll shut this out so we can do the members-only stream real quick.
Sure.
All right, brother. I appreciate you.
No problem.
All right, guys, another awesome episode of Break Cycle. Eric is so cool. Definitely go check him out. Check out his podcast. He's hilarious. He likes to respond to people in video messages on Twitter, and that's hilarious too. He's very funny. Definitely follow the man on Twitter. He's a great follow. Guys, I appreciate you coming out and hanging out with me. Coming up on the show tomorrow, my friend Liberty Down Under is going to be on the show talking about the extreme tyranny that he is facing in Australia right now, and he's going to talk about how he's putting together a group of people who are going to be savages and try to push back on all the tyranny over there. So I'm very excited for that. Guys, Thursday, my 100th episode is going to be savage. We're going to do a roundtable podcast about the culture war with myself, Maj Ture, possibly Robbie the Fire Bernstein. I'm hoping he'll be there. I'm sure he will. Top Lobster. And, of course, my good friend, stand-up comedian Adam Nutter. It's going to be fire. You guys are definitely not going to want to miss this. And then on Friday, the dork John Hudak comes by Break the Cycle to try and make a case as to why I shouldn't have savage people on my podcast that he disagrees with. Trust me when I say you're going to want to be there to see this. It's going to be an absolute roast. I am not going to be playing around on Friday at all. If you've seen my debate with the socialist Mike Shipley from a few years ago, it's probably going to be even better than that. So you're definitely going to want to be there. Check it out. Check out my sponsors, TopLobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend and partner on Break the Cycle, where you can get this great The Tree of Liberty Must Be Watered shirt that I am wearing today at a 10% discount using BTC at checkout. Or you can join the Patreon, subscribe star, or become a member of this YouTube channel right here under any of the videos by hitting the join link for $6 a month. You can get into the live streams, the members only live streams as well, which is always a lot of fun. But you get all Top Lobster's gear, new gear up 2 weeks before it goes to the general public at a 30% discount. And of course, executive producer of the show, anthemplanning.com, for all your emergency and crisis planning needs. Check them out today. See what they can do for your business, home, or personal life. They're doing a wonderful job that the government has historically sucked at, much cheaper and much more efficiently. Guys, I will see you tomorrow for the show with my good friend, Liberty Down Under. I'm very, very excited. I will see you then. But until then, don't forget to break the cycle.
Due to legal reasons, I just have to explain. The lyrics of my last song may seem to contain a violent call to action in the verse and refrain. But I just meant it in Minecraft. The helicopter part was in reference to GTA 5 and the things you do. So any violence you commit, I am not an excuse, because I just meant it in Minecraft. A chipper is my friend and he's constantly cold. Accusations of incitement getting totally old. Make your own choices, yeah, you have control. Because I just meant it in Minecraft. Obviously I would never advocate force, unless there's due process and a trial, of course. And if you're convicted, we will make you a corpse. In Minecraft, just in Minecraft. You're nothing I mean, you know it. You'll try to get us 'cause you're close to COVID. Holy shit, I think I'm